Felix. Servus FM, das Netzkulturmagazin auf Radio Froh 105,0 MHz.
Über digitale Freiheiten in der Informationsgesellschaft.
What you can't open, you don't own.
On Air, jeden ersten Montag von 19 bis 20 Uhr.
Das Firmenkonglomerat Megacorp versammelt bereits 1000 Firmen aus den verschiedensten Business-Segmenten. Jedoch haben sie alle denselben Nutzen. Sie werden von Internetbetrügerinnen für Phishing-Attacken benutzt oder um sogenannte Scam-Stories zu unterstützen. Megacorp nennt sich das neueste Kunstprojekt des Künstlerinnenkollektivs Kairos, den diesjährigen Kuratorinnen des Radical Research Labs. Mit Behind the Smart World starteten die Künstlerinnen Linda Kronmann und Andreas Zingerle einen längeren künstlerischen Forschungsprozess rund um die Themen Data Mining, Private Data sowie Datensicherheit. Nun arbeiten die beiden an einer abschließenden Publikation zum Themenkomplex. Herzlich willkommen zu Telex. Durch die Sendung bringt euch wieder Sabina Köfler. Im Interview mit Kairos geht es heute noch einmal um die vielfältigen Strategien der Internetbetrügerinnen.
Hi Linda.
Hi.
Hi Andreas. Today we meet again to talk about your residency with Servus. It's about the project Behind the Smart World. And in the beginning of this year we talked about what you were going to do. A few months ago, I think, you invited a lot of artists over to Linz to do more the artistic part and to present what was going on with the project in workshops here in Linz. And I think finally now you are working on a publication that should summarize what is the also theoretical outcome of your research project. Is that right?
Exactly. So yeah, we are right now working on a publication. We are having three parts in this publication. In the first part we are looking at saving data, and this from the perspective that Fieke Jansen was also talking about, from these data brokers, how data is collected, what data is saved that we actually don't know that is saved or are not so aware of that is saved. We have increasingly programs that are tracking us. Before, when we, you know, were saving something, it was about this control save action. But now everything, all our behaviors are saved somewhere in the cloud, and this is what the first part of the publication is about. Also, we are looking into artistic strategies of how to maybe avoid this saving. So how can we block trackers, but also like how can we maybe have artistic strategies to not be photographed or being like recognized as facial recognition is getting better and so on.
In der Sendung vom 6. Juli diesen Jahres sprach Fieke Jansen, Leiterin des Bereichs Politics of Data bei Tactical Tech, über die Arbeitsweise der Data Broker. Nachzuhören gibt es diese Sendung mit dem Titel Privacy, Is it really that important? Wie immer im Cultural Broadcasting Archive unter cba.fro.at.
Then the second part is about deleting data. So if all this data is saved about us, it's very hard to delete it from the cloud. What kind of strategies are there to actually delete it? What happens when somebody dies? What is the role of our digital identities when we don't know, we don't exist anymore? And in these cases also comes the ownership of data also like, is it possible to kind of symbolically have a funeral of our data and so on?
Yeah, and the third part is about the resurfacing of data, and it deals with what effort do we do once we give our gadgets away, that the material resurfaces again and also the data resurfaces again. So that was one of the questions that we also looked at in the art lab. What data can we find on these old computer hard drives, and how can they be recovered, and what can be done with the data? And this was also one topic that we were researching when we did the artwork Megacorp, which is dealing with the resurfacing of fake websites.
Nach Let's Talk Business entstand in diesem Jahr bereits das zweite Kunstprojekt zum Thema Internetbetrug.
Oh, I already see something.
Also die Webseite wird gehostet von einer Firma HostGator.
Genau.
Was ist das, in Amerika, oder? Das ist Amerika Kunst?
Ja. Oder also, Kanada kann da sein.
Kanada. Also dort wird die hosten, diese Webseite. Also du sagst, bist du suspicious. Du schreibst denen eine E-Mail und dann wollen sie wahrscheinlich das Geld eingeben. Ja. Oder was ist sonst in dem Geschäftsmodell? Irgendein Geschäftsmodell musst du dahinter stecken.
So this workshop is really much about our work, which is called Megacorp, and it's about fake websites.
Naja, das ist eine Bewerbung. Das ist der Job, den Sie ausschreiben. Du kannst dich bewerben, um bei Ihnen ein Local Agent zu werden.
Dann rufen wir an, oder?
Sicher.
Sie soll ja in Wien sein.
Achso. Ja, dann rufen wir an, Gast, und fragen mal.
Was wollen wir fragen?
Ich möchte aber nur eine Unterdrückung machen vorher.
Was wollen wir denn? Das ist auch spannend.
Aber wir nennen Virtual Offices. Naja, wir wollen unser virtuelles Büro einrichten, oder? Wir haben aber angefangen, das machen, das ist das erste Mal, und haben überhaupt keine Erfahrung damit, was sie denn so, ob sie uns beraten würden.
Mhm.
Keine Ahnung.
1, 6, 8, 9, 4, 7, 7. Also offensichtlich gibt es die Nummer nicht. Geht gar nichts.
Mhm.
Schaut so aus.
Weil wenn es den Anschluss nicht gibt, dann kriegen wir normalerweise die Nachricht. Dieser Anschluss ist leider nicht
genau.
Also das ist eher so automatisch aufnehmen.
On the pad you can see the link to the website, and then we have like these different questions about the logos, about other links, about the language, the domain name. So you are very welcome to also, if you want to take some notes in there or your observations, then you can write them in here. And everyone gets automatically a different color, so we can also read other people's comments or what they think and have a collaborative look at this website.
Die finde das schon seltsam aus. Also da, wo sie die Questionform hat, das schaut echt aus, wie quasi den Rest eher irgendwo gescrapt oder so, und das eine Bad, weil das ist total schief. Also was du, wenn du sonst das Design so anschaust, passt ja auch dem Ton, oder?
What we could have done, we could have gone on the side of the Wiener back or called there and asked if the company has existed. That we could have done.
Yeah, you tried this, no?
Yeah. I tried to look it up, no.
Nothing.
Couldn't find at the office space.
Okay. Yeah. Shall I trust you? Do you really not know?
When we look in the HTML code of the website, then we just see that the site is mirrored from sunxsolutions.com. We thought, okay, let's try out this Copyscape or this plagiarism checker. And also one quote from the forum was like, a lot of the fake sites that are found by searching text or text fragments from a known fake website, because like this, it's on the one hand possible to find kind of the source, like the original company that has been faked, or you find other fake websites that are just multiplications of one fake website.
A couple of years ago I was at an internet meeting, and there was a guy who really did a lot of research on scams.
Mm-hmm.
And there are these scams where I don't even know how they hire people. They say, like, I don't know, make 2,000 euro a month by working from your home. What this guy found out is that you need a bank account and an internet connection. And you will receive money to your bank account, and I think daily or whatever you take the money minus like I don't know an agreed share, and you wire the money via Western Union to a certain address.
Okay, so you become a money mule pretty much.
Then. Right, but then what happens is the money was transferred to you from hacked bank accounts. Mm-hmm. So after like I don't know a couple of weeks or so, the money will go back. So you are the final victim. Because you have withdrawn about 90% of the money that was sent to you from your bank account and sent it to somebody via Western Union, which is untraceable. Mm-hmm. And then, like I don't know, you look at your bank statement and say, "Oh, I didn't do this transaction." So you tell your bank, undo that, and that's possible up to 6 weeks. I think up to 6 weeks after you did the transaction. So your bank will claim the money back, say this was false, whatever, and then you are the final victim. Mm-hmm. So the person, the people who really apply for the jobs are the final victim. Mm-hmm. So this is a very complicated thing, actually. And what this person found out, that, and that was for me the greatest thing, it also works with fake companies, and there are lots of them. And he traced certain like pictures of the CEOs and CFOs and stuff, and he found out that there's like, I don't know, 10 pictures of people that appear in 100 or 200 different companies and stuff. Yeah. And that was really funny.
Yeah.
So,
in the end, with this information that they collected, they file a report, and it's a suspicion that you bring forward to the hosting provider, to the registration company, to say, please, your department should double check this customer because this and this and this seems suspicious for us.
For the Steirische Herbst, we were actually developing this artwork. It's called Megacorp, and it's kind of an umbrella business, imaginary business. This Megacorp takes its inspiration from these evil corporation conglomerates that are in sci-fi movies. So this is kind of the setup for the exhibition. And what we did was that we were scraping 1,000 fake websites from the internet. And these fake websites were from a database, which is from the Artist Against 419. And there's a short moment between that they actually report a business to be, or a website to be a fake, and that the hosting providers are taking it down. And in this short moment, we were scraping these websites. And from these websites, then we were analyzing them, looking into what kind of business segments they are in. We were looking in what countries or what cities they tell that they have their headquarters in. And from this, we made then a kind of an interim report, which is called the 1,000 First Companies. So this is kind of the companies that are under this Megacorp umbrella business.
Yeah, and in the installation, we present the Megacorp as a kind of fair, so as big companies present themselves on fairs, we have these roll-up banners, and we have a corporate showreel video that presents in a couple of minutes the main aspects of the company and of the business segments. So there is one computer where you can actually look through the fake websites and browse these websites. So we have different forms of presenting this megacorp and these fake corporations.
And then additionally to that, there's one video which has the locations of the places, and to some of these locations we actually traveled, and we continue traveling to these locations and actually photographing and looking what is actually there. And the other part we are also doing is using, for example, Google Street View or other kind of open source intelligence tools to look at what kind of fakes are they. Are they clones? Like a lot of bank websites are actually just clones of the sites, and they're usually used for phishing attacks. Whereas then again, some websites are made to kind of support a scam story, and then they usually are like more or less unique websites.
And these fake websites that are listed, how do those people find them?
Yeah, this is an interesting question, and this was also one question why we wanted to organize a workshop in the ESC gallery in Graz. So with the workshop participants, we were looking at these open source intelligence tools that these activist groups are using in order to prove that their website is a fake website, or at least that you can raise the suspicion that the hosting provider is looking more detailed on this website because something looks fishy or something doesn't look very clear to them. So we were going together with the participants, we were looking at these different tools, and we were using an example website where they can investigate for themselves and find different clues that proves that the website is fake.
Simon Krenn steuert für die heutige Sendung den passenden Sound bei. Es handelt sich dabei um live eingespielte Experimente mit den beim Behind the Smart World Art Lab in Linz aufgenommenen sonifizierten Magnetfeldern, die mithilfe von einem Phonograph und mehreren Tonbandgeräten prozessiert wurden.
When we had our first interview, I remember we were talking about these emails and about this typical story that you get per mail. And now I think, okay, that's it's maybe easier to identify something as a scam when it's the same story all over again. But now with the websites, it's different approaches.
Yeah, it's in a way different approaches because the criminals try to be more trustworthy or be more professional by having their own website and by impersonating a company. But it also happens often that they are sending links to these websites in their emails. So there is still the connection to the fraudulent action through emails.
So with bank websites, I can imagine that someone puts in their PIN codes or their identification numbers or something. But can you give another example of how do the websites interfere?
Okay, let's take a quite usual example. There was most of the websites were actually logistics and transport companies. So here you obviously have a situation where you want to send something and you might pay that in advance, and then the website is used kind of to seem real. The other big groups were banks. This is the phishing attacks. Then there are like any kind of online merchandise and products that you are selling. What was interesting that there was a lot of pet shops and also animal transport in these groups. So I think that when there's kind of unique things that people are selling, there are maybe not a lot of these things around, then I mean the fake merchandise is always about paying something in advance and never getting the product, so that's why it's a scam. But then there are examples, for example, we have a section of law and security or of governmental and public institutions, and here for example there's the Customs of Nigeria, a website that is fake, and this is to then support these more story-based scams that are that, for example, they are sending a huge amount of money and it has to go through the customs, and then they maybe have to pay a proceeding fee, and then they have this customs link and an email at the customs website to a person that is not obviously from the customs of Nigeria, but somebody else who will say that, yeah, you will need to pay me this and these proceeding fees and so on. So there are quite a lot of different types of scams and different kind of websites in supporting these scams.
We also found websites that were impersonating ministries, governmental ministries, like the Interior Ministry of the United Arab Emirates and various hospitals, also social media platforms or different web identification platforms like login pages for your Gmail account or for your Hotmail account. And yeah, a huge variety of different sites where it's often also hard to think how is this actually used in a scam, because it can be supporting a story that runs through email, or it can also be used in other ways. And we started with explaining about the Megacorp and giving an insight to the work, and then from there investigate a fake website and look at these tools that are used. And a second task that we did was that we used the addresses of all the fake companies in Germany, and we looked through street view programs or tracked down the addresses to see if there are some companies listed there or what kind of companies are actually registered at these addresses.
And so what are the tools that you used?
Well, the easiest one is just to look at the website, look at the design, see if there are some photos pixelated or if the logo doesn't fit into the images. Then,
so it's not just bad web design.
It can also be bad web design, of course, but it can also be to one point to check the look and feel of a site, and if just some small parts are modified, then this already can look quite weird in a way. Then, of course, that you check the contact section, who owns the website. There always has to be contact details or kind of a disclaimer who owns the site. You can check the addresses, if the addresses are real or if it's in a business center. Most often this business center has its own website where you can see which companies are listed there. Then you can check the email the phone numbers also, if the country code fits to the country where the company should be. Or you can write an email there and then start communicating with these people and see what they want from you or not.
Did you do all of this?
Yes, we did. So with the example, we did these things. The other thing is also looking at the name, because, for example, if it's a bank, it can be that they have small changes in the domain name, like that they switch the letters or put a letter in the end, and then it looks, when you look fast, as the real domain name, but it's the wrong one. That can also be suspicious. Then you can copy parts of the text that is on the front page or the about text. There are tools, kind of these plagiarism tools, where you can then paste it and it searches other websites with the same text. And if you find a lot of website with the same text, it's also kind of suspicious, because then they kind of didn't write their text themselves, but it's copied from somewhere. Then you can look in the source file. If it's mirrored, then it's probably already scraped once, so it's a copy of a website.
Yeah, and you can also look at the DNS entries and the Whois lookup, so you can see who registered the domain and when was it registered, and if on the site they claim to be a well-established company for the last 15 years, but then the website was registered 2 months ago, then this also might raise a suspicion in a way. And often it's enough if you can formulate a suspicion. You don't have to prove that this website is fake. You can formulate several suspicious facts, and then hosting providers, abuse department or fraud department will double check the website and the website's owner, and quite often raising a suspicion is enough to get a website removed.
But of course, then we also saw a lot, and also in these 1,000 websites that we have in this database, we have a lot of websites that are totally the same. They are just under different domain names. And here comes in this kind of like idea of that it's really like always just resurfacing. So it's on one hand deleted from a hosting provider, but then another one is open and they put the same copy even or under the next domain. So it's more important to kind of learn to read what is suspicious in a website than that we will ever kind of win this game of being able to close down all fake websites.
You have been working on these topics, internet scam, in so many different ways now, and you have so many perspectives on it. Now you are doing your publication, and I think you will sum up all of this. So for me, as a non-expert in internet scams, is it that much? You had these 1,000 companies in your art project. Is there a number or something that you can give us?
It said that actually 20% of the websites on the World Wide Web is actually fake websites. And there was that one research where they said that up to, I think, 35% of .us and 75% of .biz companies are fake.
And are there any numbers in how much money gets transferred through these channels?
I mean, there are some estimates, but I have to say I don't remember them now, and I would have to check that up. But they are usually like in different reports about like scam in general, they have some estimates that it's a quite big business.
And do you know something about who they aim for? I mean, usually you hear about some elder people that are not very used to visiting their e-banking account, that they give their PIN codes or something away. But I'm sure it's not only them.
No, there's very little actually research done about the victims, because victims that do not usually want to tell about, they're ashamed of being victims. I think in general there is no age, there is no gender, there is no specific place where the victims comes. I would more look at that scams are usually always there where there are opportunities. So if you are in need of an apartment, there will be an apartment scam. If you are in need of a job, there will be a job scam. If you are in need of money, there will be a lot of scams involved with money. Are you getting a lottery win?
Es sprach das Künstlerinnenkollektiv Kairos über ihre künstlerisch-wissenschaftliche Auseinandersetzung mit dem Thema Internet-Scam. Im Sommer konnten sie das AMRO Research Lab auch außerhalb Europas präsentieren.
Yeah, one thing that we also did this summer was that we presented the Behind the Smart World Art Lab at this year's ICEA conference, which took place in August in Vancouver. And the theme of this year's ICEA was around the very broad topic of disruption. And we had a workshop about scamming the scammers there, but also presented the work Let's Talk Business and had an artist talk poster presentation about the Behind the Smart World there. So we had several opportunities to present us, our research, and the ongoing AMRO research lab there to the audience that were quite interested. And we got feedback from several people who said that, yeah, they know at yard sales that a lot of hard drives are sold, or they know this semi-shady business down the street that is most probably selling stolen car radios, but also they sell hard drives. So a lot of people were getting suspicious about what kind of data storage mediums are available in their neighborhood and if they are deleted properly or not. So it were interesting discussions with the audience there.
And what was also interesting was to meet other artists that were not necessarily working exactly with the same thing as we do, but we got to know some persons that we are also inviting to write for the publication that we are working on, so mostly in the section of saving data.
And can you give a little bit of a background information about the festival?
So ISEA is the International Symposium on Electronic Art.
It was founded in the Netherlands in the 1990, and it's an international non-profit organization that tries to bring together every year very interdisciplinary discourse and exchange of artists and academics and in general people who are interested in the electronic arts. And yeah, they organize this symposium every year in a different city around the world, and we were quite happy that we could participate in this festival this year.
Das war Telex Servus FM. Die heutige Ausgabe gibt es in der Wiederholung am Dienstag um 14 Uhr auf 105,0 MHz und zum zeitlich unbegrenzten Nachhören im Cultural Broadcasting Archive unter cba.fro.at. Die nächste Ausgabe von Telex und die letzte in diesem Jahr hört ihr am 7. Dezember, zur gewohnten Zeit von 19 bis 20 Uhr. Aktuelle Infos von servus.at findet ihr in der Zwischenzeit auf deren Website. Am Mikrofon verabschiedet sich Sabina Köfler.
Telex. Servus FM, das Netzkulturmagazin auf Radio Froh, 105,0 MHz.
Über digitale Freiheiten in der Informationsgesellschaft.
What you can't open, you don't own.
On Air, jeden ersten Montag von 19 bis 20 Uhr.